And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to a second edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast for the year. Nate Duncan, you were here. I'm now 2-for-2 on podcasts. Not sure that's going to continue between the Kings, Thunder game coming up, but a home opener in Shea Center against a feisty Clippers team that we can get to, but I thought looked, you know, pretty good, like with their identity tonight. But the Warriors won because Steph Curry had 25 first quarter points without missing a shot and then hit two ridiculous threes at the end in a game that, like, beyond that, beyond Steph Curry, like, offensive heroics, like, Warriors shouldn't have won this game.
No, I wouldn't say so. I thought the Clippers got better shots throughout the game. Clippers are a tough matchup, actually, for this version of the Warriors. And you did see, again, you know, I thought actually maybe one of the biggest things was that Jordan Poole really had a rough night. I'm sure we can talk about that. But the brilliance of Steph, particularly in a full Chase Center, those two threes that he hit in the last 2 minutes, to just imagine what it's like as a defense. You're used to everyone kind of locking in. The game slows down at the end. You run the shot clock down. We got to ISO, get the ball in the hands of our best player. And instead, you have this guy who's sprinting around off the ball in transition, just lightning quick, out of his hands, bombing a 30-footer on Marcus Morris. Yeah. You know, and it's just like to be that tired and exhausted at the end of the game and to have to lock in mentally with that pressure defensively is just really, really difficult. I mean, that's why he's one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah, and it's why he can rescue you when, like, their offense from the second quarter on was, like, really shut down. You know, like, Bielitz only played 17 minutes tonight because he didn't really fit in this kind of, like, smaller style. Otto Porter really hasn't been much of a factor the first two games. Kevon Looney is... you know, he had some okay moments against Zubac, but he keeps getting hit on the short roll and, like, just wants no part of a shot or a pass. It's kind of bogged the Warriors down. I mean, half the second quarter was spent with Draymond Green up top pointing at people to move around with no defender in sight. And, you know, Poole is supposed to be the guy that alleviates some of the pressure and has in the preseason, had a great second half at Staples Center in the opener. But what the Clippers did physically to frustrate him, and you could see he was in his own head by the fourth quarter. If he's going 4-14 with 7 turnovers, you can see it kind of revert to last year where it's like, save us, Steph, you're our only hope, basically type offense. He did it tonight, but it was just interesting why he had to also.
Well, this is a very difficult matchup. We've gone with this for a long time, that the way to beat the Warriors, even when they're at their best, was you got to just switch everything. And that's what the Clippers did. They didn't have the greatest personnel at times. Like, you know, when Kennard was out there, they were able to take advantage of him. But I thought Terrence Mann really came in and changed the game with his, like, face guarding and energy on Steph. And Steph knows how to deal with that when it's someone doing that, but then you're not going to switch, right? Like, he can just come off of screens, he can go back door, he can take advantage of that. But when you're doing that to him and then you're also switching, so he's still not getting the airspace even coming off of a screen, it gets to be a little bit more difficult. You know, and Poole really is not ready to create an isolation, even against Kennard. You know, I thought he wasn't really that good. Like, he's got to either come off of screens, off the ball, get in transition, or I think in just a conventional pick and roll, I think he can be pretty good. But you know, he wasn't really ready to just, you know, create an isolation. You know, that started the second quarter unit doesn't really have anyone who could do that. You saw actually Kerr went back to Wiggins, I think also to get a little more athleticism defensively. But this Clippers team is good. Like, I mean, that was my biggest takeaway here, is not even that the Warriors were that bad. The Clippers, after that first quarter blitz, they're switching defensively. They had a good plan. You know, they didn't make too many mistakes.
Ty Lue's a good coach.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I think, and he obviously is very, very experienced playing against Stephen Curry, more so really than any coach probably in the NBA right now. So I thought this was a good challenge for the Warriors to overcome. It looked like it was slipping away down 98-90. They might have got lucky with some missed Clippers open shots, but you know, these are two very good teams that they just beat.
Eric Bledsoe missed shots are not lucky, fortunate misses. They're just Eric Bledsoe misses.
Well, Marcus Morris, 44% three-point shooter last year, wide open threes. Yes. You know, those.
Reggie Jackson go tonight, by the way?
Yeah, he really struggled. Four out of 19. His nickname's Big Government, but the printing press was broken for to pump those dollars into the economy tonight.
Oh, baby. Poole. I want to talk to you about Poole. He was played more physical tonight. And, I mean, if you think back now at the preseason, you know, in Portland with a really bad – well, he played Portland twice, but a really bad defensive effort from Portland gave him wide-open threes. Like, Poole, you're right that, like, if you just have, like, a hound on him in isolation, it's tough for him to just blow by. But he has some transition tricks and quick, like, in-and-out dribble moves and some and a pretty quick first step. And I think some surprising explosion if you're kind of not paying as much attention to him as you should. But as was mentioned by both Draymond Green and Steve Kerr postgame, like, he's becoming, like, you know, second line of the scouting report essentially now. And, you know, Ty Lue, I'm sure, said Terrence Mann, you know, be physical, phase guard him. Eric Bledsoe, you know, bump him. And he's going to have to not only get used to that, but also mentally handle it better. You saw tonight, I mean, he's yelling at the refs after a couple wild misses. Draymond Green and Steve Kerr both used the term rush. Like, he was, you know, not only was he rushing to try to make a play, it just felt like once he made a couple mistakes, he was rushing to try to, like, make up for those mistakes and feeling the pressure of what this team needs from him. And, you know, it's going to be up and down with him. He is still only a third-year player, so it's not going to be terrific every night. But what did you think of his struggles tonight, you know, in the grander scope of what he's been lately?
Yeah, well, I think he's just not a guy who's going to beat great defense right now that's really locked in on him. And, you know, at the start of the second and the start of the fourth quarter, teams don't have great defense out there. The way the Clippers ran their rotation, they were doing a lot of switching. They had good defenders on him. You know, I think he's definitely better against a defense that's not set on the second side, playing with Steph, you know, bombing threes when there's work happening off the ball to set him up, et cetera. So getting out in transition. So, yeah, I mean, he's not yet ready, I think, to be like a true bona fide second option going up against another great defense. But hopefully Klay Thompson will come back to help with that, and then, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, he hasn't closed the last two games, probably because of the injury the other night, because he did have it going. But he shouldn't have closed tonight. You know, Damian Lee was better, and Damian Lee had that nice chemistry with Steph on what ended up being essentially the game-winning three with under a minute to go. So it's still, for a third-year guy, a little bit of a growing process, and they can count on him, I think, to be a secondary guy. And he's going to have much better nights than this, too. Like, they've played two veteran, experienced defenses that don't make a lot of mistakes. You know, going up against the Kings and the Thunder the next two nights, I expect him to look a lot better.
He's got the Thunder two out of the next, like, five games. Yeah, and, you know, the other thing with him is, like, the three-point shot, he's confident in it. But, you know, he's probably only going to be a 34-38.3% three-point shooter who's can get very hot and very cold. And, you know, he has five air balls in his first two games, but also, you know, he has some deep makes. He got hot in Staples briefly the other night. But that is something to watch for this shot. Yes, he's like Steph Light with some of the off-ball movement. You got to be very encouraged by obviously how he's looked if you're the Warriors. But this isn't a sniper. You know, this is not a 40-plus point three-point shooter.
Yeah, we'll see on that. I mean, with some of the shots that he's taking, perhaps not. But, I mean, the biggest thing just for this offense is that he has to get guarded out there. Mm-hmm. And he has to get guarded there coming off the screens as well. And so, you know, I mean, I think today, again, like, if you're – like, what? How many teams are going to be switching 1 through 5 against the Warriors in the regular season? Like, not many.
With that type of personnel, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with, like, a Man and a Bledsoe. Bledsoe got a little overzealous and got back cut a couple times. But Man, I thought, was really good. And you know, PG obviously is really
good. Zubac solid at the rim, too, at times.
Yeah, no, he was good there. So, I mean, obviously the Warriors' turnovers were bad, but I think a lot of the reason a lot of those turnovers happened. Some of them were just dumb plays in transition, which we always see from this team in certain games. But some of them was also just the offense getting stagnant and trying to go backdoor when it wasn't there. And so, I do think there are still some pretty encouraging things other than Steph, though, from tonight, I would say.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
What have you thought of Draymond through two games? You know, he fell on his wrist like very early in the third quarter tonight, like was really flexing it most of the second half. At one point went to the locker room, and after he fell on the wrist, he missed both free throws. But as he pointed out post-game, he was 1 of 5 before falling on the wrist from the free throw line, finished 2 of 9. He's actually 4 of 13 from the line, and that's people probably would be surprised to hear this, but he's actually a career 71% free throw shooter. He's usually pretty good at the line. Yeah. But I'm not really asking you about Draymond's free throws right now. What have you thought about Draymond preseason and through two games?
I think he looks good, actually. I think he looks pretty good physically. Like, he's been finishing inside at the rim reasonably well. He's got up for a dunk. You know, I think around the basket he's still been solid.
And one, yeah.
It is interesting that even in last year's was the case as well, that they don't do as much switching with him out on the perimeter as they used to. And part of that might be preserving him. Part of it might be that they don't think they have the personnel to play behind him off of switches as well. But they have kind of done like a more conventional pick and roll defense. You know, we'll see what it looks like with him as the guy. You know, the big question is when he's making the decision in pick and roll, is scoring still an option for him? But I think he looks as good as you reasonably could expect at this point in time.
You were on Damian Lee early. You were like a big Damian Lee proponent back when he was a two-way guy. Like, this guy fits Steve Kerr's system. He's not just basically a Steph Curry favor, essentially. And he's just gotten even, you know, marginally better and marginally better, even though he plays kind of a stable game over the last few years. And obviously he's been on guaranteed contracts the last couple of years. And you know, coming into camp this year, you kind of viewed him as like 11th man and a good 11th man. It's like, you know, if you have Damian Lee as your 11th man, that's solid. But Steve Kerr, I remember going into the fourth preseason game, was like, Damian Lee's had a really good camp. The type of stuff we didn't see much because it was not on.
I thought that might just be like a platitude, like for a guy that he was just hoping would stay ready, but that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, and then he came out after the final preseason game. He had a good final preseason game, and Steve Kerr at the podium was like, he's in the rotation right away. And that wasn't like a stunner that he said it, but it was like, oh, it's like notable because we didn't know, like, he felt on the fringe of the rotation. And through two games, I mean, we're talking about, like, first sub off the bench. He's always in the first wave. And I'm trying to remember, did he close in L.A.? I can't remember, but he definitely closed tonight. And he's makes big plays for them. Like, he's become, like, a very needed rotation player for them.
Yeah, I think he did close in L.A., actually. And, yeah, just because of the way he moves without the ball, he's a solid three-point shooter. You know, will teams start to attack him a little bit more defensively? I think that's a possibility, but you know, they were trying to go after Steph more tonight. But,
and he's not like super exploitable defensively. Like, he's capable, even if he's not like a physical Wiggins type wing defender.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a guy who you can switch on to the best players in a pick and roll, right? You can't just say, all right, you're just gonna screen with this man, fine, we'll switch. You know, this isn't going back to the heyday of the Warriors with Iguodala and Harrison Barnes and Clay. You know, he's not that level of guy, but good team defender and competes, and also like a good read and react transition player as well. So he does really
rebounder too.
Yeah. I mean, he tries. He sneaks in for layups. Like, he just knows how to play in the system. And you know, I think it makes perfect sense that he is closing these first two games.
The ambiance of Chase Center behind us. What did you think of Chase tonight? By the way, we are sitting here talking post-game as they're breaking it down. I believe it was a Phil Collins concert or something. Eagles concert the next two nights, if you didn't know that, Nate. But Chase Center's alive again. We got honking right now in the background, and it was, I don't know, I mean, it was, I think, announced as a sellout. It was a near sellout, at least, tonight. And it was loud. It got going really late for the Steph threes. This is the game. This is the type of game they better get going for. I mean, it's exciting. But what did you think?
I was surprised that not every seat was filled. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it was probably about 85% full by the end. And, you know, the games are starting earlier, but people aren't working in San Francisco. You know, I think they're for an indoor sporting event as well, and what's still a very kind of cautious area. Maybe you didn't see people showing up. I mean, that's kind of interesting to think about. You know, the Giants are really good this year. They weren't necessarily selling out either. So last time I'll ever mention the Giants on this podcast, don't worry. And so, you know, that is kind of interesting to think of, like, have habits changed now due to the pandemic? Are people going to gradually get back to normal? Because for me, I was like, okay, as soon as it's safe, I'm, like, really glad and happy to be out there again now. A lot of people don't maybe think that way, or maybe they're just not at work and it's just a little more inconvenient to go to the game, although it's not like people work very close to Oakland, the Oakland Coliseum or Oracle Arena. But I thought the people who were here was totally a solid crowd, not like, you know, Madison Square Garden level, but certainly it got loud in here for the big shots late. Like, felt good to be in an arena.
Yeah, for sure. I think we'll learn more about those habits coming up. They have an 8-game homestand. I believe her franchise record 8-game homestand with a lot of winnable games within it. Thunder, Grizzlies, Bulls, Timberwolves are in there. And then, you know, that's following what will be a Kings Thunder back-to-back. Like, they have a chance, as Klay Thompson spends the next month rehabbing and getting closer, they have a chance to really give him a soft landing spot if they can be 9-3, 10-2 range. Like, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but if you look at the schedule, like, it's almost what they should expect to be.
No, I think you're right, and we'll get a better idea. Like, I actually think the game on the road against Sacramento could be a difficult one.
Kings are feisty, let me tell you. I watched them the other night.
The Civil War for Slater's heart. I assume you'll be at that one in Sacramento.
I will.
But, yeah, a couple other just small takeaways I had here. I mean, Andre Iguodala looks like he can really contribute. Like, he should have been in the closing lineup. He had a little scare hurting his hip. I mean, that's, you know, him and Draymond kind of having these injury issues. Like, that to me is more of this team's weakness in the regular season, is just, are some of these old dudes going to get injured? Are they going to need maintenance? Obviously, if there's a Steph injury, you're still in big trouble. That's kind of more of the issue for me versus at full strength like they are right now. I think they're very good. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, I think that, like, Andre Iguodala, like, shouldn't play against the Thunder. Like, Moses Moody should be getting those minutes, right? If you could trust the rest of the, you know, the Steph infrastructure to beat a Thunder team, which you should, because Steph Curry should get, like, you know, 14 wide-open three-pointers against that Thunder defense. So, that's, I mean, like, these two games, Lakers-Clippers, perfect game for Iguodala. How many minutes did he get tonight?
24.
He had 22, I believe, the other night. He has looked fresh. But to maintain that freshness, I think they're going to have to be selective with how much they use him. And he needs to be selective of how much he uses himself, because I do think he's trying to – he's been very adamant since, like, media day that, like, no, I'm not here to be, you know, an assistant coach, essentially. He still thinks he's good on the court. He's proven it in two games, but I would expect him to throttle down, particularly against the bad teams with him. Any other takeaways? Seem like you had some.
Well, I mean, I didn't realize, like, that Andre is the second oldest player in the NBA. That's pretty crazy.
And number one is?
That's a good question. Is it LeBron? I think it might be LeBron.
No, Iguodala is older than LeBron.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know that off the top of my head. I'll try and figure that out.
Who would be? Carmelo? No, because...
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of guys who are, like, in that 37 area.
I'm surprised we're not getting this. Anyway.
To actually answer your question, Bielitsa, I think the way he's going to get used is really interesting. I think he actually works much better against teams that are going big. Mm-hmm. I think when you get into a small game, it's really more about his lateral mobility than it is his ability to rebound and kind of fight inside. You know, you put him next to Draymond, I think you've got enough, and he can make it up against the other team's big when you're going into that trapping situation. When the other team starts switching, and then when they have small guys that can blow by them on the other end, it doesn't really work that well. And I think Kerr recognized that, went back to JTA. Bielitsa didn't play much in the second half. And then Porter is interesting. You know, he got up for a nice alley-oop in transition tonight. Like, he is actually really running the floor hard, which I appreciate. And, you know, he says he still has to get into better condition. I do think, you know, he looks like a decent defender out there if you just look at his body. But I do think he's kind of struggling to move laterally a little bit. So he's another guy who might kind of need to be spotted a little bit. But I think both those guys, particularly just in the meat of the regular season, like we saw in preseason, can really contribute. It's just, you know, in a game like tonight, it gets a little harder for them.
Yeah, but, you know, this team does seem deep. You know, JTA, who was such a good rotation player for them last year, really is on the fringes right now. It's trying to sneak in and get some minutes. And Moses Moody probably played, 4 or 5 minutes tonight and had a nice pass. And just like in L.A., he had a nice drive, almost to the point where, you know, if Moses Moody was a rookie on last year's team, he's probably getting 15, 20 minutes a night. And I'd almost like to see him get more minutes because I do think – he can become a rotation piece, like a reliable one pretty soon. But I also understand the idea of, like, this isn't the time. Now, again, games coming up could be the time, particularly if Andre takes a day off here and there. But,
I want to see where Moody is at in terms of his individual defense. I think he actually, for a rookie, executes well. He can shoot from the corners. He'll get some offensive rebound. So, you know, I think he actually can be adequate offensively. It's just a question of, can he stay in front of guys yet at this level? His passing is great. He threw two passes for dunks tonight off of drives. You know, he has really had some nice little laydown looks.
Yeah. All right. Warriors at Kings Sunday night. Sunday night mayhem and up in Sacramento. I'll be there. Are you coming? You coming up to Sac?
I might try and go. We'll see. I gotta, you know, record something on every single team on Sunday first and see if I can make it up there after that. That might be a little tough.
West Coast only teams that matter. California. Four teams in California. So the Warriors' first three games, I just thought of this, will be against the other three California teams. It's kind of interesting. I will talk to you either post-Sac game, maybe, or post-Thunder game, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Coming up. Talk to you. Nate, thank you for coming on. Anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, Danny Lure and I are doing the NBA cast, which is on NBA League Pass. So if you're a League Pass subscriber, every Monday we do League Pass games. We're doing Celtics Hornets. Check out Melo Ball and us calling the game on NBA League Pass. It's actually still in the free preview window, so you can just watch that for free on Monday.
I hopped on and watched you and Danny call a few Anthony Edwards buckets the other day and Wolves. Rockets. Wolves actually look kind of good. That bottom of the West is interesting to me with, Wolves, Kings, I think, look a little bit better than people realize. And the Blazers, and I was kind of down on the Clippers. I'm less down after tonight, but the Blazers looked a little rough the other night. I don't know. It's pretty early in the season, I'd say, though.
New Orleans looks awful. Let's also keep in mind the Wolves play the Rockets, who are atrocious.
Yeah.
They were so bad in that game.
Well, you would know. You announced it, so everyone watch the Danny Nate game coming up, and I'll talk to you later.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.